New poll asked Americans how they feel about the U.S. Supreme Court. Perhaps the most surprising find, even though the court has gotten more conservative with Donald Trump's appointments, conservatives not happy with it. We're talking about new poll results about the U.S. Supreme Court, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Have your feelings about the U.S. Supreme Court changed since Ruth Bader Ginsburg died and Amy Coney Barrett was appointed? Do you pay close attention to the Supreme Court or just the major cases? How did you feel about the court's decision to keep the Affordable Care Act in place? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Charles Franklin is director of the Marquette University Law School poll and developer of pollsandvotes.com. Charles, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be back with you, Rob.
Well, let's start off. This is a national poll. A lot of times we talk to you about your Wisconsin polls. You're going nationwide on this Supreme Court survey.
That's right. For the last 2 years, in 2019 and 2020, we did one national poll on the Supreme Court in September of both of those years. This year, we're expanding that to six polls a year, polling every other month, because we want to follow the thinking about the court throughout the year, not just once after the term is over and all the decisions are done. We want to see how that develops and how people are thinking about it throughout the year.
Before we get to what people think about the court, do people think about the court? At least some of the questions you have about rating individual justices, there was a majority of people said, I don't know enough about that justice to even have an opinion. How close are we Americans watching our Supreme Court?
I think it's a very split decision in the sense that virtually everybody is willing to tell us whether they approve or disapprove of the job the court's doing. Virtually everybody is willing to tell us whether they trust the court or the presidency or the Congress most. So in those broad ways, people have opinions about the court and they're perfectly willing to express them. But when you ask them specific names of justices and whether they've heard enough to have an opinion about that justice, there we see awareness go way down to a low. The least well-known member, Justice Breyer, only 24% knew enough to give an opinion of him. And the best-known justice only was at 58% with an opinion of him. So there in those specific details, you see a lot less awareness. And as I'm sure we'll talk about, there's some variation in what people know and what they know that isn't true. And so misperception becomes part of this as well.
Well, I teased one of the interesting findings from this latest poll. The court got three Republican appointees under the Trump administration, generally perceived as moving the court in a conservative direction. But Republican people polled, Republicans polled, not necessarily happy with the court. What did you see when the when you looked at those trends?
Yeah, I think this is the most intriguing question about how people perceive the court and responded to it over the last year. Our September 2020 poll finished interviewing the day before Justice Ginsburg died. And so all of the responses from a year ago were with her still on the court, a 5-4 conservative majority on the court. And with the addition of Justice Barrett, appointed by President Trump, confirmed by a Republican Senate, you might have expected that that new 6-3 conservative majority would be something that Republicans would become more happy about. But what we actually found was the opposite. In 2020, 80% of Republicans said they approved of the job the court was doing, and that fell to 57% this year. Independents are at 61, Democrats at 50 this year, so not a whole lot of change for independents or Democrats. Those were pretty close to where they were a year ago. But this dramatic change with Republicans, despite the fact that they went to a bigger conservative majority, six justices appointed by Republican presidents, only three appointed by Democratic presidents. And so that leaves an interesting question of why that is. I've seen people suggest that maybe it's because the court this year didn't move as far as conservatives might have hoped for it to move with such a large majority. But we don't see any evidence for that. In our data, Republicans see the court, in ideological terms, just a little bit more conservative than they saw it last year. Democrats a little more conservative, but still not a huge shift among Democrats either. If you thought Republicans were really disappointed with the court, they might have moved it further to the middle of the ideological scale, and that didn't happen. But what we do see is a pretty sharp misperception of the composition of the court. In the whole sample, 30% say the court definitely has a majority appointed by Democrats. Appointed by Republicans. And 45% say it probably does. 24% believe it's still a Democratic majority, which it hasn't been for years. But among Republicans, only 16% say it's definitely a Republican majority. In contrast, 44% of Democrats say it's definitely a Republican majority, and 30% of Republicans believe it's definitely or probably a Democratic majority. So this misperception matters. For those Republicans that think it's a Democratic majority, approval's at only 43%, whereas those who know correctly that it's a Republican majority, it's 64% approval.
Talking to Charles Franklin, director of the Marquette University Law School poll, about a new survey, part of an ongoing series on what Americans think of the Supreme Court. What do you think of the Supreme Court? What do you think of the composition of it right now? Do you worry about its rulings on contentious political issues? Is there a ruling that you liked or disliked over the last, say, year or so? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Charles, you compare and contrast what Americans think about their attitude toward the Supreme Court versus the other peaks of our three-branch system. How does the court stack up against the White House and against Congress?
Yeah, the court, in our data as well as in most other data, looks fairly good at on trust. Which institution do you trust the most? The court gets 58% picking them, 28% pick the presidency, 13% pick Congress. That's hardly changed from last year when it was 59 for the court, 24 for the president, 16 for Congress. Within that, there have been some changes. Lots of Republicans trusted the presidency last time, and they don't this time. And conversely, lots of Democrats didn't trust the presidency and now do. So that shift in Democrats and Republicans is large about the presidency, but it nets out to very little change, while the court stands out there with this pretty substantial 58% choosing them as the most trusted.
You asked some questions that seem to try to get at the issue of politicization of the court and whether the court is a political institution versus some sort of abstract legal institution. Some questions kind of nibble at least around the edges of that. What kind of things were you looking for? What kind of things do you see?
Sure. We ask a question that others have asked and we've asked for the last few years. Do you think when the justices make their decisions, do they base them primarily on the law or primarily on politics? And this year, we got 71% who said primarily the law, and 29% said primarily politics. Last year, it was 62 primarily law, 37 politics. So primarily law has actually gone up by about 9 points over that time. And interestingly, here there are majorities of every party that say primarily the law. It's a little bigger for Republicans than it is for Democrats, but it's still a healthy majority of Democrats that say the court's rulings are primarily based on the law.
You also looked at some particular rulings, including a ruling on the latest challenge to the Affordable Care Act that ultimately kept it in place. What reactions did you hear from people?
Well, there are two things. One is how familiar people are with each of the six rulings we asked about. And their familiarity varies a lot. The Affordable Care Act was the most visible decision, with 60% having an opinion about that. And a substantial majority favored the decision that was reached in that case, preventing an effort to overturn the Affordable Care Act. And a minority said that they opposed that decision. That's in line with the question we asked last year, looking ahead to the case before it was decided, with a substantial majority favoring upholding the Affordable Care Act.
We're talking to Charles Franklin, director of the Marquette University Law School poll, developer of pollsandvotes.com. He's talking to us about the latest survey on how Americans feel about the U.S. Supreme Court. And you could join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Do you trust the U.S. Supreme Court as an institution? Do you think they make decisions based on politics or based on the law and legal precedent? Do you think there should be more justices on the court or not? That's another question asked on the survey that we can get into. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Marquette Law School poll director Charles Franklin about how Americans are feeling about the U.S. Supreme Court and how that's changed over time. You can join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234 on the current makeup of the court, rulings you've seen from them, worries you hope or fear to see from them down the road. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Let's bring on a caller now. Terry is with us in Superior. Terry, hello.
Hello, how's your day going?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Terry?
Well, there was a ruling, because I meet them every once in a while, and there was the ruling about the police officer who was selling the data out of the federal database for criminals and the state database for criminals. And they had ruled just a very strange thing, saying that you can't remove his ability to still access the data. You couldn't punish him. You couldn't go after him. And he was selling it for profit outside of his duty as a police officer, and I still didn't understand the ruling. I just thought it was strange.
Terry, thanks a lot for that call. I'm looking at an article about that. It is kind of a puzzling story, but Charles, I don't. Do we see people bewildered sometimes by U.S. Supreme Court rulings? Can that shape the way we think about the court?
Yes, I agree, and I think that this is a good example of a ruling that you know, seldom becomes prominent in public discussion, and the details of the case are complicated and sort of what was the basis of that ruling. So I think this is a good example of one that, as I understand it, and let me disclaim here, I'm not super familiar with that case either, but I believe that it had to do with the unauthorized use of a database, and under what statutes could that be prosecuted? And so it was a fairly technical ruling about whether that statute covers the kinds of things he was doing, rather than whether it was a good or a bad thing that he was accessing it and selling the data.
Thanks a lot for the call, Terry, at 800-642-1234. We'll go now to Beth on the line in Eau Claire. Beth, hi.
Hi there.
Hi, what do you want to bring up, Beth?
Well, my comment and question is, you mentioned the number of justices on the Supreme Court, but I think a more intriguing and practical issue might be term limits, and arbitrarily 20 years or so.
Beth, thanks a lot for the call. A contentious issue, the idea of adding more justices or having term limits. I know you polled people, Charles, about the idea of adding justices. I can't remember if there was a question about term limits.
Well, we did ask about expansion this time, but we asked about term limits last time, so I can speak to both. A year ago, a pretty substantial majority favored term limits, though we didn't specify how long those limits should be. But that has turned out to be a relatively popular proposal to change the court. The problem practically is that it almost surely requires a constitutional amendment because the Constitution says they should serve for a term of good behavior. As for expanding the court, we found a pretty even split, 48% favoring an expansion of the court, 51% opposed, and a big party split on this, three-quarters of Republicans opposed to expanding the court, three-quarters of Democrats in favor.
Thanks a lot for that call. Had you asked about the court expansion idea previously in these surveys? Because I know it became a more hot topic just this year.
That's right. We have asked about it. Last year, the split was a little more opposed to expanding. So it's moved from a small majority that were opposed to expansion a year ago to, as I say, a 48-51, essentially a dead even split now.
Thanks again for that call at 800-642-1234. Talk about American attitudes and thoughts about the U.S. Supreme Court. Charles Franklin is with us, director of the Marquette University Law School poll, where they've been doing ongoing nationwide surveys to see what we think. We're looking at the newest edition of that survey. Still time for your thoughts or questions at 800-642-1234. Charles, you survey people about individual justices, and you mentioned earlier, in many cases, the not sure what to think about them or don't know about them is the majority. Were there justices, though, that stood out to you as particularly well-liked or particularly divisive among the people you surveyed?
Yeah. So to begin, there is this big variation from the least well-known justice that only 24% say they know enough to give a rating to 58% for the best known. Interestingly, the Chief Justice, John Roberts, is in the middle of the nine justices with just 43% able to give an opinion about him. Most of the justices have more a favorable view than unfavorable. The two most recent appointees, Amy Coney Barrett and Brett Kavanaugh, are the two that are more evenly split, with Coney Barrett having a 27-26 favorable unfavorable, and Justice Kavanaugh 26 favorable, 32 unfavorable, the one justice with a net negative. Surely that is partly due to the controversies surrounding both of their appointments. In the case of Coney Barrett, in the closing days of the Trump administration, and in Kavanaugh's contentious hearings over his initial appointment a few years ago. Everyone else, though, ends up with a net positive of the people that have an opinion of them.
I'm going to guess, though, that polarization is going to be pretty strongly on partisan lines when it comes to Justices Kavanaugh and Barrett.
Yes, though it's also true of the other justices. You know, we've been talking about how limited the knowledge of the court is, and that's absolutely right. But people do manage in a rough and ready way to connect their partisan views to the justices, and interestingly, also to the cases, so that whether it's a justice appointed by a Republican president or seen as a conservative, or decisions that lean in a conservative or a liberal way, Democrats and Republicans line up behind their side, whether that's the justice or the case. And they do that in a pretty regular way across less known cases, better known cases, less known judges, and better known justices. The one interesting exception, again, is John Roberts, where Democrats have a more favorable view of him, whereas Republicans are about evenly split on Roberts, who was appointed by George W. Bush, a Republican president.
How important is a Supreme Court justice appointment toward people come Election Day? What kind of things do we see when we ask people about that?
Well, we see 51% who say the Supreme Court appointments are very important to them, so about half. On the other hand, when we push a little harder, it's maybe as few as 25% or so that know most of the justices or know most of the cases, so that familiarity matters. When we looked at it a year ago in the midst of the 2020 election, there was a clear relationship between how people said the court was very important to them and their choice of presidential candidate. So again, they lined up their politics about the court with their politics about who they were supporting for president.
Time for one more caller. Pat is with us in Kenosha. Pat, hello.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I'm really against term limits because I think once justices get on the court, they tend to go by their own conscience if there's no populism involved. They can immerse themselves in what's right and wrong in the law, and they can be above that. And I think that's a system that works. If you put term limits on it, it gets political.
Pat, thanks a lot for the call. That's the intention, I think, behind lifetime appointments for the justices, though others make the case that the appointments end up being political anyway. Charles, your thoughts on that in our last minute?
Yeah, I think there's good evidence, of course, that appointments are political, whether we want them to be or not. The president and the senators certainly make them more political, regardless of what the justices say or do. I do think there's also empirical evidence that a few justices have shifted their voting behavior on the court over time. People like Sandra Day O'Connor, who moved to be a more moderate justice, and a couple of others in recent years who've done that, while others have maintained their liberal or conservative credentials throughout their time on the court. There is a presidential commission considering these issues and taking a lot of testimony about it. And to no one's surprise, whether term limits are a good or bad idea is highly contested. But it's interesting to see that debate and to see the public, as with this caller, joining in that debate and considering the pluses and the minuses of term limits.
Thanks a lot for that call. And Charles, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you. Take care.
Charles Franklin is director of the Marquette University Law School Poll and the developer of pollsandvotes.com. He talked to us today about the latest survey from the Center, a national view of how Americans feel about the U.S. Supreme Court.